It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. I welcome Sada Nandume of the American Enterprise Institute, who also writes a column for the Wall Street Journal I read very carefully about the subcontinent, about the Indian Ocean Basin, about questions raised about the world's most successful democracy, India. The questions raised right now are, democracy, is it? And Sada Nandume is reporting to me something I did not see until I read his column. Freedom House has downgraded India's status from free to partly free. This is the first downgrade since the late 20th century. Sadanan reports that this puts India on the same level as Ecuador, Albania, and Malawi. It's a puzzle because India is integrated into the defense of the whole region as a member of the Quad, Australia, Japan, and the United States. It's a puzzle because India is faced with confrontation, military confrontation, commercial confrontation, threats from the quite clearly dictatorial regime of China. So, Sadanan, I begin momentarily to say I'm frustrated by this downgrade, not why they did it, but when they did it. Was this a surprise to everyone? Good evening to you.
Very good evening, John. Well, I'm glad it wasn't a surprise because if I've been writing about this and I've been following it closely, there have been a series of policies made by the Indian government since Narendra Modi's re-election in 2019 that have been extremely controversial and that have raised fears that India is sliding backward from its traditional commitment to democratic values and pluralism and fundamental rights, freedom of speech, that sort of thing. And so many people, in fact, expected this from both Freedom House and a Swedish institute called VDEM, or Varieties of Democracy. And so the downgrades did not come as a surprise to people who've been following this debate closely.
There was another downgrade from a Swedish institute, but we need some definitions here. What is the difference between free and partly free? Do they explicate this, or are we supposed to guess?
So I think the simple way to understand this is that if you're looking at Freedom House, a completely free country is one that is successfully protecting individual rights, that has strong institutions such as independent courts, robustly independent media, and where individual rights such as freedom of speech, freedom of conscience are fully protected. And I think a partly free country would be where some of those rights are in place, some of those institutions are in place, they're not always working perfectly. And in the case of the VDEM ranking, I think their gold standard is liberal democracy, which enshrines all these rights. And so what Freedom House calls there are a few differences, but broadly what Freedom House calls free, VDEM would call liberal democracy. So that's basically what we're looking at. And all of your listeners in the U.S., that's the only kind of democracy they know because that's the democracy they've lived in. And that's obviously also the democracy that we see in Western Europe, what we see in Australia, what we see in some of the rich parts of East Asia, South Korea, Taiwan, Japan, and so on.
I'm not seeking to rationalize. I'm just puzzled here because of the countries you named. Good for them, but they're not up against a dictator that's launched military against your border region. That would be the High Himalayas. They're not up against a dictator who means to dominate the earth by 2040 or 2050, including India. And they're also not commercially involved with big pharma and other manufacturing that a dictatorial regime on the same continent as you means to undermine in your endeavors. So I'm not rationalizing. I'm not making excuses for India. I just puzzle why they're doing this now. And also, Sadanan, I suggest, can we remove the possibility that China, in some fashion, moved this story, encouraged this story, pointed fingers at India, and asked Freedom House to look at it more closely?
So look, I do think that there's, I mean, what you're raising is a really important question, John, because if we look at this in geopolitical terms, we want India to be a bulwark against an expansionist authoritarian China. And under those circumstances, it makes sense for us to, you know, play nicer with our friends than with our enemies, right? To put it very crudely or bluntly. So I understand that. But at the same time, I think there is a kind of way of objectively measuring what's going on. And if the government over there is, for example, tossing people into prison for criticizing the government on the government's farm laws or something like that, I think some of these organizations are going to objectively then assess it in this way. So I think the way for us to sort of work towards the goal of keeping India in the Western tent, keeping India cooperating with the Quad, is not to simply turn a blind eye when stuff happens that we wouldn't like to see happen. We certainly wouldn't like to see happen in our own countries. But in fact, to kind of explain to India, maybe quietly, maybe behind the scenes, but to explain to India that it is in India's own interest to stay on the right side of this democracy line, stay on the right side of this line about liberal democratic values, because it wants to, in the end, have a strong constituency in the U.S. In both parties. It wants a strong bipartisan consensus on the U.S.-India relationship, which, John, as you know, has existed for more than 20 years now.
Yes.
And the best way to keep that in place is, in fact, to continue to evolve in the right direction in terms of democratic issues. And if you look back at the Cold War, I would argue that that was generally what happened with most U.S. allies. So I think, you know, the U.S. has a good effect on countries, and it doesn't mean that we don't work with countries that are flawed. We're going to continue to work with India. But I think it's fine for these reports to come out in the meantime, because they're not government reports in the end, right? They're independent bodies that came up with these reports.
You report that Freedom House has also had doubts about the U.S. democracy. Suddenly I get the image that Freedom House could be left all by itself, declaring no one free. So I ask this question about the foreign minister, Jai Shankar. I hope I say his name correctly. He tossed this aside, as you report, its hypocrisy. Was he applauded for this? And is that significant in India's affairs that he elbowed aside a criticism of his government?
Oh, absolutely. His response was very popular, right? He said that, well, you're framing this in terms of autocracy and democracy. I'll tell you the truth. It's hypocrisy. And everybody loved that line. And obviously, I mean, India is going through its own moment of nationalism. And I also think it's fair to criticize outfits like Freedom House. There is a problem with large parts of academia and large and NGOs. That, you know, to an extent, their own political preferences might filter in. But in fairness, Freedom House did not say that the U.S. is partly free. They recognize that the U.S., whatever else they may think, the U.S. is a very free country. So I think that there is that, you know, I mean, you can have a really interesting discussion. Like in some of these countries, are these NGOs rating countries not based on the reality in those countries, but based on their own political preferences? Or are the conditions in these countries, in fact, declining? And I would say that the Freedom House reports are, it's not perfect, neither is VDEM. And as I read them as an expert on India, I was like, well, maybe this part is too harsh, or maybe this part is inaccurate. For example, Freedom House criticized India for its COVID lockdown. Now, I'm not a big fan of lockdowns, but that wasn't about backsliding from democracy. It was just a public health measure. So there, you can definitely criticize elements of this, but I think we can do that while also acknowledging that there are problems that are real and that should also be addressed.
Sadanan Dume for the American Enterprise Institute, writing at the Wall Street Journal about India, partly free. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.